Welcome to Everyday Truth with Judge and Sarah, the podcast where we look at biblical truths to answer the pressing questions we encounter every day surrounding cultural issues. We are your hosts, Sarah Cherney and Judge Phil Ginn. This week's episode is personal to our faith and profoundly unsettling to our nation. News outlets reported recently that a three-judge panel, that's three judges on Indiana's second highest court, unanimously determined that individuals could be exempt from a recently passed law that banned many abortions in the state. What's the basis for allowing the exemptions around the ban on abortions? Well, unfortunately, it's women claiming that abortion is a sincerely held religious belief. Listen to that. A sincerely held religious belief that abortion can happen. So, thankfully, reason still has another chance to prevail by way of an appeal to the Indiana Supreme Court. So, I want to take this situation that abortion is a religious belief, like you're allowed to have an abortion because your religion allows you to do that. That's what you believe. And talk to you about this, Judge Ginn, because you are the expert when it comes to the law. And also, think about the implications. Can you speak to the implications of this law passing? Other states are looking at it as well. This law passing, what happens to our nation if this were to pass and this were to happen and was to spread throughout our nation?
Well, it is the beginning of a culmination of something that we saw maybe about a year ago when Roe v. Wade was overturned, and we started hearing people talk about abortion providers, that it was a religious experience, that it was, women talked about this as part of their belief system. And now we find that there have been some lawsuits that were filed on behalf of women who claimed that their desire for abortion was a religious belief on their part. And so the courts in Indiana is the first instance where that has actually been upheld as a denial of really the law's application to ban abortions under certain circumstances. In other words, the Indiana law was one that was designed to curb the number of abortions that occurred and to limit the reasons for an abortion or the time limits for abortion, as we've seen in some of the states that have entered that kind of law. But now this particular case in Indiana, and it was at the Court of Appeals, which is the second highest court in the state, has ruled that if a woman has this religiously held belief that she needs to have an abortion, that you can't prevent her from having one. It's a religious liberty issue when it comes to abortion, according to this court. Unfortunately, a lot of times we see these things come from different states that are more liberal. If you saw a ruling like this out of New York or California, it might not be as concerning as it is here, because Indiana is really known as a fairly conservative state. It was the state that brought us Mike Pence, who is very much a pro-life candidate, regardless of what you think about him otherwise. He certainly is that. And Indiana is known as what we would call a red state. And not only that, but we've seen other states that are like-minded to Indiana take these cases up, and they're coming back up through the various state court systems. So it's one that's probably going to end up being heard eventually down the road somewhere and at the U.S. Supreme Court. But right now, this is the law in the state of Indiana.
So I see this as a citizen, woman, someone who believes in biblical principles around life, as a loophole. It's a loophole. It's opening up. It's like putting a wedge, if you will, to open up a loophole that really opens up a can of worms around this. Because I believe in religious freedom. I mean, obviously, we believe in religious freedom. But with that being said, where do you see this a law of this nature? Should it be, going to the Court of Appeals? Where do you see, if this were to pass and other states start to look at something of this nature, where do you see this leading us as a nation?
Well, Sarah, it's more than a loophole. It's a juggernaut. Because any time you come up with a concept like this, you have to look at the ultimate conclusion. Mm-hmm. How does it apply to other things?
Mm-hmm.
What about honor killings?
Mm-hmm.
They come about as a source of sincerely held religious beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
What about euthanasia? What about rape or incest? What about multiple marriages to multiple wives, as some of the radical Mormons still believe in? And so you just go down the list of things that it opens up as you indicated, a big can of worms. It's a Pandora's box, because there's so many things in our lives that are abhorrent that we could label as, oh, I've got a sincerely held religious belief that I ought to be able to have
right.
a relationship with a five-year-old child.
Well, what about Islam? The rule of thumb comes from the fact that you're not able to beat your wife with a stick bigger than your thumb. What about the fact that they could beat a woman, or they can behead a woman? I mean, you've seen pictures of that happening in other countries, but we have a very significant Islamic population in America. And also radical Islam, killing Christians. We're supposedly the big Satan when it comes to radical Islam. So I think there's a lot of implications, not just for abortion, but it opens up the door for discussion on things which are deviant behaviors. I mean, we could tie this all back to how are we supposed to live? What's the biblical concept behind how we're supposed to make these kinds of choices? I mean, if we want to get really radical, the fact is that God said, don't have sexual relations outside of marriage. If everybody practiced that, we wouldn't even be having this conversation.
Well, unfortunately, what our culture does, it provides us alternative to God's plan so many times.
Mm-hmm.
God's plan still is the best plan. God gave us sex in marriage, and it's a wonderful thing. And when you start trying to supplant that with some other idea of whatever it may be, even goes to what I call the alphabet sex group. You know, they're offering alternatives to God's plan, and none of them work out well ultimately in that regard. And it's just it's a scary time for us in America, Sarah, because of what we're seeing. And so many people look at morality coming from our court system. If the Supreme Court rules on it, then that becomes morally secure. And it may not have anything to do with God's morality. And what's happened is that we've erased that God line in America, and we've opened the door to all sorts of erroneous thought patterns, including something like making abortion a common, ordinary thing in our life.
Well, let's just look at the history of abortion real quick. Let's just take a super quick snapshot. When you take a look, it was the creator of abortion rights, women's rights, is Margaret Sanger, who is the author of Planned Parenthood, which really, she was a eugenist. If you take a look at the history of Planned Parenthood, you just go and do a Wikipedia or a Google search on Planned Parenthood, they celebrate their founder and their author, Margaret Sanger, who was a eugenist, who believed that black people were the ugly weeds in a garden that needed to be killed and pulled. And so if you take a look at the history, she really wanted to rid our world, our nation, of people who she did not deem worthy, and abortion was one of the ways to do that. You take a look at her, what she supported as a person. She supported not necessarily just the murder of babies, but sterilization of people that she did not consider to be worthy or fit to have children. She supported that back in 1927. You could take a look at the history there. But if you look at the roots, the reality and the truth and the roots of what abortion stands for, it is to eradicate a population of people. And it's not for healthcare. It's not healthcare. It had nothing to do with healthcare. It doesn't have anything to do with people's rights. As a matter of fact, it was against people's rights. And the whole premise behind it was to accordingly rid our society of people who were deemed unworthy. And if you take a look at the history, Planned Parenthood says, oh, well, she's our founder. We believe in her reproductive rights, but we don't stand with her because she spoke to the Ku Klux Klan, or we don't stand with her because she believed in, you know, sterilization. And so they pick and choose, just like many people in our world today pick and choose the things of the Bible that they really want to support because it fits what they want to do.
Well, actually, you may not know this, Sarah, but this concept of eugenics actually still existed in the late 70s in America. Mm-hmm. And at that point in time, folks were being, black women in particular, were being sterilized because they had a sickle cell trait involved with. And so they were seeking to eliminate sickle cell anemia, and so they were sterilizing women who carried this gene. And it's not unusual for that kind of thing to be. And isn't it strange how this parallels with Nazi Germany trying to create a super race? The sad part about it in America is that it's worked the opposite. We have eliminated through killing our unborn children a whole generation of people who probably could have, one or more of them could have been the savior for our nation. And in doing so, we have indiscriminately killed our own children.
Well, when you think about that, well, let's just look at what the Bible says. When you look at Isaiah 5:20, woe to those who call evil good, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. You know, when you think about that quote, you think about the world at that time and what God was seeing. Israelite people were put basically in punishment for some of the things that they're doing as they did not obey God, obey the law. When I think of that and I look at what's happening in our world right now, especially in the United States, where truth is turned upside down on its head, we're not hearing truth from anything, from any institution, from our educational system, from the courts. The courts are, you know, their decision making is, in some cases, you know, we've got kangaroo courts making decisions that are detrimental to the moral compass of our nation. The family, the breakdown of the family, the rights that we feel we have as people to kill unborn children. I wonder what God is thinking. We deserve the condemnation of the Lord, as far as I'm concerned. You know, we should be on our knees praying the Daniel 9 prayer, because what we see happening right now is unbelievable. It's actually hard to wrap your mind around and see what's actually happening in our nation. It's disconcerting.
Well, sin has its own consequences. I mean, if I go down the road traveling 90 miles an hour, sooner or later I'm going to hurt somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Sooner or later, sin has a consequence, a result. Just like we're talking about this particular situation in Indiana, again, you know, even those folks who are very pro-abortion under these circumstances need to realize that if they continue down this road, it's opening the door to more and more different things. There's a particular insect larva in the world that is very attractive for ants. The larva secretes a certain substance that acts almost like an aphrodisiac for ants. It just drives them crazy. So an ant colony will find one of these insect larvae, and they will take it back into their den and basically almost worship this insect larva for the secretions that it gives. The problem for the ant colony is that the food that keeps that insect larva alive is baby ants.
Mm.
So they take into their colony the very thing that will destroy their colony. That's what we've done in America. We've brought in sinful acts that we can't get enough of. You can't sin enough. And so when you bring in all these other things, you're literally destroying generation after generation. We've done that in America. We've destroyed a couple of, maybe three generations in America, and we can't afford another one.
Well, as we you know, move to wrap up this episode and this podcast today, it really makes me consider all of the topics that we have to talk about that are happening, things, so many things that we can discuss as we really look at what is God's truth about, for instance, life. And God tells us in His Word repeatedly over and over that He is the author of life. He truly is the author of life.
And He tells us to seek it.
And he does. He tells us to seek it. And when you talk about the food, the ant bringing in that substance which kills them, the opposite of that is that Jesus is the bread of life. When you think about it, Jesus truly is the bread of life. And our hope through this podcast is that people will turn to the Lord, turn to see that God is good, He is sovereign, He does see what's happening. And that sin, even personal sin, there is a consequence to personal sin. But there is hope. We do have hope. Hope through Jesus Christ.
You know, Sarah, you and I could talk for a long time on these subjects. And I look forward to many more sessions of this.
Yes.
But as we conclude today, I'd like to end this time by saying that those of us whose hearts are still tuned to heed the true voice of the Good Shepherd, hear the plaintive cries of our children.
Amen.
And we fully recognize the lostness and the desperate condition of our once great nation. Nonetheless, America needs to know that the love of God must always be wrapped in the truth of God. When the light of truth shines in the darkness, it is exposed for what it is. And in this particular case that we're talking about today, Sarah, it's pure evil.
Agreed.
Don't be misled. The evil of this nature will not escape judgment, and the kind that we are already beginning to experience in our nation. Whether we've gone so far as a people that God's final judgment is imminent and irreversible remains to be seen. But rest assured, until that time or the Lord returns in His glory, Southern Evangelical Seminary and Truth That Matters will not be neutral when it comes to the real truth. Though all of us, all around us is sinking sand, you're going to find us standing steadfast in the realm of God's veracity, because the gospel of Jesus Christ is, in the final analysis, the only truth that matters. Thank you for listening to Everyday Truth with Judge and Sarah. As always, stay informed, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay steadfast in the truth.